First of all, I want to thank you for joining us for what will be my last press conference as governor of Iowa. It's been a great honor and privilege to work with you over these many, many years. And I want to begin today, however, by expressing my deep sympathy to former Governor Tom Vilsack's family. His granddaughter died recently. I talked to Tom briefly yesterday evening to express our condolences to him and his wife Christy and their son and daughter-in-law and to the entire family. And they have another granddaughter that's in the hospital as well. So our thoughts and prayers are with them at this very difficult time. Also, my deepest sympathy to the family of Joy Corning, who was my lieutenant governor for 8 years, very dedicated advocate for education, a great role model for her daughters and grandchildren. She was always unflappable and a very dedicated public servant, and she will be greatly missed. And, of course, unfortunately, we lost Don Avenson, the longest-serving speaker of the House in Iowa history. And although Don and I didn't always agree on policy issues, he's a person that you could always rely on. If he gave you his word he was going to get something done, he got it done. He was a very strong and effective speaker, and he's somebody that also dearly loved Iowa and worked very hard for his constituents, both when he was serving in public service, but also as an advocate and a lobbyist in recent years. So all of these families are in our thoughts and prayers at this very difficult time. As you know, yesterday afternoon, I was confirmed by the United States Senate with 82 votes. Was very proud to receive a strong bipartisan endorsement in a time of significant partisanship and difficulty in our nation's capital. I'm very appreciative that President Donald Trump and Vice President Mike Pence had the confidence to nominate me to be the ambassador to the People's Republic of China. I'm very appreciative of the strong support that I received from Senator Grassley and Senator Ernst, and from the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Senator Corker, the chairman, and Senator Cardin, the ranking member. And I appreciate all of the courtesy that I was given as I went through the confirmation process. I really am excited about this new opportunity to serve the United States of America as the ambassador to the most populated country in the world, to a significant economic power, the People's Republic of China. I hope that the longstanding relationship I have with President Xi Jinping and the Chinese people will be helpful to our country as we work to improve relations and meet some of the challenges that exist in the world today. I'm already pleased that President Trump and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross have been able to work out a deal that's going to make it possible for us to serve Iowa premium beef in the ambassador's residence and the embassy starting in the middle of July. This has been 13 years that we've been working diligently to try to get China reopened for beef, for American beef. And this is a big step forward. There's many other issues as well, but I'm really excited about that. So tomorrow, and by the way, today, this afternoon, I'm going to be going back to where it all started. I'm going to be going back to Lake Mills and Forest City. I'm going to see the new Freedom Rock that's just been painted in Lake Mills, which has my picture on it in my Army uniform. I'm proud that they chose to do that. Get an opportunity to meet with a lot of friends and family in Lake Mills. My Aunt Helene, who's 94, continues to live in Lake Mills, and I have a lot of friends and relatives there. And I will be going to Forest City to the Mansion Museum. In fact, we'll be bringing up a load of stuff that I'm donating from my years as governor, as I did from my first stint. I will meet with friends and family there in Forest City as well. And then tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning, I will, in the formal office upstairs, resign as governor and be sworn in as the American ambassador to the People's Republic of China. And I've asked Stephen Colleton is the highest ranking federal judge from Iowa. He serves on the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals, and he will swear me in. This will be on my 8,169th day as governor. So I'm really honored and proud to have been chosen by the people of Iowa to serve that significant period of time, 22 years, 4 months, and so many days. And we do have the days down to 8,169. So I'm also very excited to be able to leave the governorship in the hands of a very dedicated public servant who has worked diligently and been a great partner of mine, and that is Kim Reynolds. I have no doubt that she will lead the state to bigger and better things in the future, and I know nobody that's ever been as well prepared to take over the responsibilities as the chief executive of the state as Kim Reynolds. So I'm pleased to turn it over to her now to tell you more about the transition.
Well, I'm going to try to get through this without getting emotional, which is going to be a little bit of a challenge. So, but I want to start, too, by expressing my sympathy to the Vilsack family, Joy Corning's family, and Don Avison's family. I just can't even imagine the heartache that all of them must be feeling today, and our thoughts and prayers continue to be with each and every one of them. I just want to say thank you, Governor, for your unselfish and historic service to this great state. It's difficult to even try to begin to convey how much I appreciate the opportunity to work with you. On June 22nd of 2010, I received a call from Governor Branstad asking if I would be his running mate. And from that day through today and every day in between, I have had the opportunity to learn from one of the best governor in the nation. He has challenged and inspired me every day. His competitive nature is contagious. Whether it was the 99 counties or the Governor's Steer Show or who could get to a groundbreaking or a ribbon cutting first, I did know who was always supposed to come in first. But that doesn't mean that I wasn't challenged every day to get right there to the edge and continue that competition. You continue to make us proud, not only from your service and dedication and love for the state, but to continue to take that unselfish service to and Iowa's values to the world by being the ambassador to China is such a great testament to who you and Chris are as people. You're the right person for the right time, serving for the right reasons. And I just want to say personally, thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve with you. We've had fun, and we've worked hard, and we've made a difference. So thank you again for your continued service, and congratulations on being named ambassador to China. Well, I got through it pretty good.
You did great.
As the governor mentioned, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., he will submit his resignation, and he will be sworn in as ambassador. At that point, I become the governor of the great state of Iowa. Preceding that, at 10:30, I will, in the rotunda, I will be administered the official swearing-in by Chief Justice Katie, and will have the opportunity to give my first gubernatorial address to the people of Iowa. That address will be live-streamed on Iowa Public Television. Then it's on Thursday at 10 a.m. In the formal office, I will have the opportunity to share my news about the Lieutenant Governor process. Thursday and Friday evening, we will be participating in a number of events throughout Iowa. And my staff will be providing you further details on the events on Thursday and Friday. We anticipate, and Iowans expect, a smooth transition. To prepare for that, we've been working diligently over the last several months. I've had the opportunity to meet with each of our department heads, and really we've had the I've had the opportunity to talk to them, to listen, to talk about how we can support them in doing their job and serving Iowans. We've got a great team in place, and they're working hard every single day to support Iowans, and we just want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make them successful. We have our office and department heads are prepared to implement the legislation that was passed this last legislative session. And I will also be meeting with the full cabinet in the near future so we can talk about aligning the priorities, discuss any ideas and next steps. Iowans should know that we're ready to get to work and we're ready to continue delivering meaningful results for Iowans. Our goal, as it always has been, is to exceed Iowans' expectations and to make our state an even better place to live, work, innovate, and grow. I am been humbled to serve as a lieutenant governor of this great state, and I am honored to serve in this next capacity of the governor of the state of Iowa. So with that, I think we'll be happy to take some questions.
Okay.
Well, okay, so what's going to happen with lieutenant governor? You're still not saying?
No. Well, on Thursday, we will lay out the process for that decision. You know, as I indicated, Iowans expect a smooth transition, and so that's what we're focused on right now. We're going to I'll be sworn in tomorrow, and then on Thursday we will be making that announcement.
Do you expect any shakeups with agency directors? There's been a lot of speculation over DHS and Charles Palmer.
Well, first of all, Chuck has done a great job, and I certainly appreciate his service to the state. But we're going to be making those announcements in the days ahead. So we're focused on the transition the next couple of days, and then we will be making those announcements in the days ahead.
Governor,
yeah.
Who's going to China with you?
My wife, Chris, is going with me. I'm proud to say. Now, that was a big question. Would she want to go to China? And I've got to say, now I'll tell you this story, and some of you probably already heard it. Right after the election, you may recall, in Sioux City, on the Sunday before the election, Lieutenant Governor and I were there, along with Joni Ernst and Congressman King, and Donald Trump called me back up on the stage. He called us all up on the stage, but when I came back on the stage, he says, well, Governor Branstad can take care of China for us. Well, and then he won the election on Tuesday night, and I had already long since planned a trade mission to China and Japan. So I left on Friday for China. While I'm in China, there's all this speculation based on what had been said in Sioux City. And unbeknownst to me, my daughter, Allison, called Marcus and Eric, and they all went over to Terrace Hill. And all of a sudden, Chris sees her three adult children, and they say, you know, Mom, we think this could be an opportunity of a lifetime, and we don't think you should just reject it out of hand. Besides, we'd like to go to China with you. And so that kind of started the thinking. But I get back totally surprised that my wife has an interest in this. We had a couple other family meetings, and I went out to the new governor's conference in Chantilly, Virginia. But on the way there, I stopped in D.C. and met with Vice President-elect Pence and with Reince Priebus. And I told them, yes, I might have an interest, but I obviously had to work this out with my family. So the next day, while I'm at the new governor's conference, I get a call from Donald Trump. Well, first, Michael Bougelot calls me and warned me that, hey, you're getting a call from Trump. So I called my wife and I said, you know, I know he operates. He could ask right off the bat. So I had a good conversation. He said, there are 13 people that want to be ambassador to China, but I think you'd be the best. And I said, well, you know, we've had some discussions. I want to talk with my family. We're going to be in New York next week on an economic development trip. And so we arranged that we would meet with him in Trump Tower. And in the meantime, we pulled together a family meeting at Allison's house in Clive. And Marcus was deer hunting, but he came in camouflage anyway. And kind of decided that
if the president asks, that we would be willing to do it. So it's kind of interesting the way it happened. So I don't know if my wife would really want me to tell the rest of the story, but I think
it's a good one.
Okay. Well. Anyway, we didn't even want to get off the plane. We went straight to Trump Tower. We get up there, and first of all, as you know, my son Eric was the state director for Trump, and so he says that kid, he did a phenomenal job. What's his cell number? I want to call him and thank him. We look at each other. We don't have it memorized, and we don't have our cell phones with us. So, but anyway, he was coming to Des Moines for a thank you event in a couple days. But he looks at my wife, and he says, you want to do this? Chris said, yes. He says, you've got it. So that's how it all happened. Obviously, that was just the beginning, and then we had to go through the whole confirmation process, and you kind of know the rest of the story. But Allison and Jerry and their two little girls are going to go with. Allison applied for a teaching job at the International School of Beijing, and she did three interviews via Skype, the last one with the headmaster, and she was selected to teach there. And because she's going to be teaching there, her daughters are going to be able to go to school there tuition-free, which is a big deal. So she and Jerry and the girls are going with. I think you're aware that my son, my oldest son, Eric, has been selected to be the Commerce Commission chief liaison to the White House. So he's working directly with Wilbur Ross. In fact, Eric and Adrienne were at Wilbur's home open house. Wilbur bought a very nice house in Northern Virginia and had an open house last night. And so Eric and Adrienne were at that, and they're coming back tonight to be here for the event tomorrow morning. So they're flying on the direct flight back. So that's kind of the situation. Marcus is working for the American Chemistry Council, and his wife works at Des Moines University, and they're going to be here in Des Moines. And, well, they live in actually Adel address, yes. I don't know for sure. We will be here and staying over the weekend out at the lake. We have a place at Lake Panorama. We're in the process of packing. And by the way, this is the way this goes. So the State Department will ship a whole lot of stuff via slow boat to China. It's about 8 weeks. And then there's, I think, 4,000 pounds that can go by air. Then we have some stuff that we want to store to keep when we get back. So, and frankly, until I was confirmed, you know, they wouldn't do any of this. Now that the confirmation's over, we want to move as quickly as possible and see how quickly we can get this all done. But yeah, we're going to be in the process of packing, and we've been doing that here and at Terracell. Yes. I'm not sure. Is that a staff decision that was made? And yeah.
Why not? I mean,
well, we've had all kinds. We had a volunteer photographer who came and took family pictures of us at Terrace Hill just over the weekend. So,
if there's the opportunity to use a member of the open press, is that something that the staff may consider?
Well, but listen, I'm open to photographs that anybody wants to take, whether it's the press or the public. And you can't believe all of the selfie photos that have been taken here these days. It's unbelievable. So I have no objections to anybody in the press or anybody in the public that wants to take my picture. I've probably got more pictures taken than anybody else. By the way, my first trip to China was 1984, and there was a Max Olson, worked for economic development at the time, and we had 50 people that went on that trip. He has since recently passed away, and his son sent me photos from that first trip. So they're not big, but I have a bunch of interesting photos of the whole delegation, or 50 of us. that went on that first trip to China back in 1984. So, yes. As you well know, the Chinese system is very different than ours. The government, they have a one-party system, and the government controls the press. Now, because I'm an old friend of the president of China, I get treated unbelievably well in China. It's unreal. I get treated almost like a rock star, as do most other Iowans, because they know this relationship, and they're all curious about it and whatever. Now, and the China Daily, which has 500 million circulation, we've gotten great coverage there. Now, in my new role as the United States ambassador to China, I'm not, and instead of being just an old friend of China who has had this longstanding sister state, it may be a little more difficult because I will be saying things on behalf of the American people that the Chinese a government or the Chinese media may not agree with. So I expect it will not be quite as – and also, I'm realistic. I don't know that I am going to be able to change their system, but I certainly want to be an advocate for human rights, for intellectual property rights, and for many of these issues that we as Americans care deeply about. And I shared that with the members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee when we had the hearing. And some of that I hope to be able to do behind the scenes through direct and candid conversations with the Chinese leadership. But there will be occasions when I'm sure I will be asked to speak publicly on issues as well. Well, I'm not going to comment about that. My responsibility is really to represent America in China and to work with the administration. I am very encouraged about the initial meeting that the President Trump had with President Xi Jinping in Mar-a-Lago, and we've already seen results with regard to, you know, opening up China for beef, the relationship in dealing with the threat from North Korea. And that's a huge problem, not only for America and China, but for the whole world. And I'm hopeful that, and I think the Chinese, I think they recognize that the leader of North Korea is a real threat because his half-brother was living in Macau, which is in China, and then he was murdered at the Kuala Lumpur airport. And I think that was a real signal that this person is dangerous, reckless, and that he's a threat to China as well as to South Korea, the United States, Japan, and the rest of the world. I don't know. I think the weekend he had was phenomenal. I watched what he said and the tremendous efforts that are being made to build a coalition with the people in Saudi Arabia and other Muslim countries, also in Israel, and the relationship between Israel and Saudi Arabia, which historically has not necessarily been great, I think has a chance to improve dramatically. So what he's doing is trying to put together a coalition and providing strong American leadership for that coalition to deal with the threat from ISIS and from these radical elements of Islam. And let me tell you, the people in Saudi Arabia and Egypt and these other countries feel just as threatened as Israel does about what's going on with Iran. That will still remain to be seen. We're working with the State Department. There are about 2,300 employees of the embassy and the five consulates in China. I may be able to take one or two people, but that still has not been worked out, and there's a lot of clearances and things that have to be approved by the State Department. I want to say that there is an Iowan, a former Iowan, that works at the State Department, and he's very close with Secretary Tillerson, and his name is Brian Hook. Brian was an intern for me back in the 90s. His grandfather, Henry Hook, was the publisher of the Quad City Times. And while I was in D.C., meeting with the State Department and practicing and preparing for my meeting with members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, I had lunch at the State House cafeteria, and Brian came up to me. And so it's really good to have somebody that is an old friend, that somebody we've known a long time, and is an Iowan in a very key position. He was also at Mar-a-Lago for the meeting with Xi Jinping. By the way, the president's granddaughter was a big hit, and I've gotten to know Ambassador Sui, the Chinese ambassador to the United States. He was here with Vice President Xi back in 2012. He was in the meeting in 2011 we had in the Great Hall of the People. And he was here just last week to meet with me. And he told me when I had lunch with him a couple months ago that Ivanka and Jared's daughter is like 5 years old. I think she has a Chinese nanny, and she speaks Mandarin. So they were at the Chinese New Year at the Chinese embassy, and they were talking about it being the year of the rooster. And then in Mandarin, she said, "But I was born in the year of the rabbit." And then she also sang a little a poem to President Xi Jinping at Mar-a-Lago. So it's gone viral, I guess, in China. And that kind of relationship and that kind of diplomacy, I think, is helpful.
Lieutenant Governor, have you selected Chief of Staff, Communications Director, other governors?
Yeah, we have made those decisions, but they will be announced in the forthcoming days. One of the things I'm most proud of is the access that we provide not only to the press but to Iowans. That's why we go to all 99 counties, and I absolutely anticipate or will continue to do the weekly press conferences.
Governor, the president has a certain style of talking and doing that is unlike your style.
Well, that's true, but I will say this. I Well, when I was there in November, before I ever knew that I was going to be asked to be ambassador to China, I just reminded the people in both China and Japan that Donald Trump's a businessman. Many years ago, he wrote a book called The Art of the Deal, and the best deal is one that's a win-win situation that'll be beneficial to both sides. And with my longstanding relationship and friendship with the Chinese leadership and the Chinese people, I think he recognizes that I could be an important go-between that can help with those relations. And I think he's off to a good start. And he intends to visit China later this year. So I will be there, sometime this summer. And so I'm looking forward to being involved in that visit when the president does visit China later this year. But I think that Donald Trump is, I think just this first foreign trip that he has right now is going very well, and I think he is showing that America is going to be strong and reliable as a counterforce to the threats from ISIS and from the radical Islamic extremists that threaten, and we're just involved in this tragedy that happened in England last night. Yesterday. 22 years, 4 months, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, every one of them is different. And I think one of the reasons I've been successful is, first of all, I learned to work hard at a very early age and never take anything for granted. And secondly, I've tried to be a good listener and be available and accessible to the people. And also, I've also, in all of my campaigns, tried to lay out my vision, my goals for the state, and made a, and I think people, even though not everybody's going to agree with my positions on issues, I think they respect that I'm an honest person, that I'm sincere, and that I will work hard for what I believe in. Yes?
Go to Bill. One second behind you first, and then to Bill.
Yes? Well, I was asked by the President of the United States. I guess I never in my life expected this would happen. A small farm kid from northern Iowa, but my goal in life was to be governor of Iowa. And I've had the great honor and opportunity to do that now longer than anybody else has ever served in this state or any other state. So that's been a great opportunity. But now when the President of the United States asked me to play a key role in dealing with the second largest economic power and the largest population in the world, and the fact that I have this long-standing relationship with the leadership of China, I just felt that it's a challenge that I ought to take on. And I'm honored and I'm proud to have been selected, and I want to do the very best that I can to make a big difference. Well, I don't know as ambassador that I can be that involved in Iowa politics, but she's got my 100% support. And obviously, absolutely. First of all, when I made the decision to choose a running mate to run for lieutenant governor with me in 2010, I looked all over the state of Iowa, and I wanted somebody that had the same kind of work ethic that I have, and somebody that, and I was impressed with her as a county treasurer. She was one of them that convinced me that we ought to be able to have the county treasurers issue driver's licenses. And it turned out to be a great idea. It saved money. The public loves it because they can now get their license renewed every working day. I think in 80, what is it now, up to 82, 83 counties, in 83 counties of the state of Iowa. Now, in the big counties like Des Moines, you don't want them traipsing through the courthouse. But in the smaller counties, that can be done, and it's been worked very well. And so then she was chosen to be the best county treasurer in America. And then I encouraged her to run for the state senate. She got elected to the state senate. Actually, I'd encouraged her a couple times before she actually did run. But... And she did a great job in the state senate. And you know, what's impressed me about Kim Reynolds is she leaves no stone unturned. She wants to know the details. She wants to get to know the people. And she's very much a policy wonk in terms of, you know, and she's done that with the STEM efforts, with science, technology, engineering, and math, and now with the Future Ready Iowa, and so many other things. She's led trade missions, and I've gotten great feedback from the people who have gone with her on the great impression that she's made on those trips. So I think nobody has ever been as well prepared to be governor as Kim Reynolds, and that's why I am proud to support her and support her for reelection in this office. And I know that she's got to earn it by what she does, but I think she's proven to me that she's ready to do the job and do it well.
Should I move quickly through these, Ben?
As ambassador, besides promoting U.S. beef, in what other ways do you see as far as promoting U.S. agriculture in China?
Well, I've already talked with Tom Vilsack, who is now representing U.S. the Dairy Export Council. I think there's an opportunity to expand dairy sales in China as well, you know, and they have recently abandoned their one-child policy, so they're going to have more kids, and they need milk, you know, and dairy products is a good thing, and we can supply a safe, reliable supply of dairy products. We already sell them more soybeans. Last year, I was astounded to hear this: 48% of our soybeans were sold to China last year. 48%, more than all the rest of the countries in the world. And, of course, we're selling a lot of pork. The lieutenant governor and I visited that new pork plant in Sioux City, and 40% of that pork is going to go to Asia, China, Japan, South Korea, many other countries. So I see great opportunities there. I want us to continue to try to break down some of the barriers. And actually, there's some restrictions on DDGs right now that we want to get eliminated so we can sell. And China was buying a significant amount of that, but they put a tariff on it. We want to try to get that eliminated. So there's a lot of issues. And obviously, there's a trade representative in the Commerce Department and many other people and many groups. But obviously, I'm someone that cares deeply about those issues. I want to be hands-on involved and helpful in every way that I can.
Well, I should say wait until tomorrow, and you'll see. And that's going to be probably the bulk of my answer. But, you know, I'm just going to talk a little bit about me and who I am and my journey from county treasurer to serving as lieutenant governor to now serving as the governor of the great state of Iowa. So it'll be a lot of kind of my journey to get to where I am today. And then some, of course, forward-looking policy as well.
Last two questions. Joyce.
Oh, there's always going to be unfinished work. And obviously, water quality is one of those issues that passed both houses, but they weren't able in the last night of the session to get that worked out. I'm very hopeful that we will see a long-term, reliable source of funding without raising taxes made available for the nutrient reduction strategy and to improve water quality. Tax reform is another area. And I'm sure you'll hear from Governor Reynolds on those issues in the days and months ahead.
Governor, I know you're excited about the new adventure, but do you also have some mixed feelings about leaving Iowa?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, I love this state, and it's been such an honor and a privilege to serve. You know, I'm going back to Lake Mills and Forest City today because I just want to say thank you to the people that launched my career. I was born at the hospital in Forest City. I grew up on a farm at Leland. I practiced law in Lake Mills, and they were so generous and supportive of me, and I wanted to let them know how much I appreciate the honor and the opportunity that I've had coming from that small rural county on the Minnesota border. So that's what I'm going to do on my last day as governor. And then tomorrow, of course, we've told you what's going to happen tomorrow. But, and, you know, this is just temporary. We're coming back. And we're going to store some things right here in Des Moines. And we have a home at Lake Panorama, and we do intend to hopefully we get back at least a couple times a year. And we're going to stay in touch with our friends and family and constituents. And, you know, and I have literally made friends in every county of this state, and I just want people to know that I'm so humbly appreciative of the support and assistance that we've received through all these years, and I won't forget it, and I will be back.
Well, I was going to say, Governor, I think you've invited most of those friends and family from all 99 counties to come visit you in China.
Yeah, my wife is worried if they all show up, you know. But, yeah, I have invited a lot of people to come visit, and hopefully some of you will come visit us, too. So I also want to say to the press, I'm appreciative of the press that we have in the state of Iowa and the opportunity I've had to interact with you through all these years. So I'm going to miss that. I just spoke. The Iowa Newspaper Association has a group that gets together every year, and I had the opportunity to interact with them just the other day. I think it was Friday. And I served on the Newspaper Foundation board for a while as a public member. I think I was the first public member of that. So I'm a believer in free press, and you know, I grew up reading the Forest City Summit and the Lake Mills Graphic, and as I told the young people in the newspapers that I met with earlier in the week, you know, Ben Carter, Harris Huntsey, and Jerry Wiseman all play, and those are all newspaper people from Northern Iowa. They all played a key role in helping me get started. And some of you may know that Bob Ray used to own the radio station in Esterville called KILR. We used to call it Killer Radio. And I had a legislative report that I used to make on Killer Radio. And actually, the Jacobson family bought that station from Governor Ray, and they still own the station. The Jacobson's father was a Lutheran minister from Rake, and I used to do his taxes. So I have a lot of connections with a lot of people, and I'm not going to forget it, and I'm looking forward to coming back often. And, you know, when I say often, it's going to be maybe a couple times a year, but this is not forever. And I just want to make the biggest difference I can while I'm there.
Thank you, Governor.
Okay, thank you.